comes loose to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Suter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rindamore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani! Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani!
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Hey, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1260, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. And remember to download and subscribe on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. Hope you all had a great weekend and an awesome Monday, but it's good to be back. I'm really looking forward to today's pod as I'll be joined by Mark Shagg from the Hockey Writers as he covers the Columbus Blue Jackets. He wrote an interesting piece on Monday where he talks about the Blue Jackets and Oilers being potential trade partners as he breaks down a scoring winger for McDavid, a starting goalie, and a third line center the Blue Jackets could, might have, and could Columbus target Nugent Hopkins as he's a UFA after next season. We'll get into all that with Mark Shagg in a couple of minutes, but first, it's time for your noticias. Not much to report on the Oilers front, but it's only Tuesday, so here we are crossing our fingers, hoping for some action. Unlikely, yes, but one can dream, as I expect things to heat up here in the next couple of weeks as the NHL draft and free agency are just ahead. I must say, though, it is kind of weird, and in normal times, we would be starting training camps around this time, and, you know, every team has hope that their team's going to go to the Stanley Cup and all that, and you kind of miss that, the normality of that, but instead, we're heading to the offseason. Hey, listen, I mean, I'm grateful that we have sports back, but I can't wait till we're back to the normal sports schedule. September should be for training camp, not for the end of the season. Hernan doesn't really like change, but anyways. Breaking this morning, the Washington Capitals have named Peter Laviolette the 19th head coach in Washington Capitals history. A great signing by the Washington Capitals. I know on the Two Guys in the Goalie podcast last week, we discussed Laviolette or Gallant for the position, and we threw Babcock in there as well, which was an extreme long shot, but good to see Laviolette land with the Washington Capitals. I mean, he's taken three teams to the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll see if he can do it one more time, and according to reports, it is for 3 years. So we'll see if Laviolette can get Ovi and the boys to one more Stanley Cup. Moving on to the NHL playoffs, the freaking Dallas Stars are heading to the Stanley Cup Finals after a 3-2 overtime win over the Vegas Golden Knights on Monday night. Stars erased a 2-goal deficit in the third as Denis Gurianov scored the winner on the power play to send them to the Stanley Cup Finals. Anton Khudobin made 34 saves. It has to be a leading contender for the Conn Smythe if they can pull this off. The Knights, you know, went cold, only scoring 8 goals in the 5 games. You know, a lot of questions there. Will Leonard stay in Vegas, as it's being reported by a few NHL media out there? Obviously, nothing has been confirmed, so at this point, it's just speculation. So we'll see if he ends up staying there, playing with Marc-Andre Fleury going forward. As for the Stars, man, I've counted them out since day one of the bubble playoffs, and man, was I wrong. I didn't think, you know, early on in that Calgary series, I thought Calgary was going to take that one. And then Colorado was like, I mean, if Grubauer stays healthy, does Colorado pull that one off? I don't know, because I don't think he's that much of an upgrade on Francouz. Both those guys are better than Hutchinson, but it's an interesting debate for sure. But I didn't think they'd get by, you know, that Colorado team. And then this one, Vegas was playing so well. They're such a big team, big bodies. They got four lines that can just come at you. And Dallas in 5 games took care of them. So kudos to the Dallas Stars. I've been counting them all, but that top line is finding, you know, found their stride at times in this series. They're young guys, Hintz, Gurianov, Kiviranta, and then their defense, just Heiskanen and Klingberg, just amazing. And this goalie, man, 34 saves last night. He's really, you know, he's a UFA. He's going to demand a nice little contract here, especially if they can win the Stanley Cup. But good on the Dallas Stars as their team is humming along nicely. They're Their opponent, well, Game 5 goes this evening as the Tampa Bay Lightning look to finish off the New York Islanders up 3-1. Puck drop at 6 p.m. for this one. On a side note, though, great to see Todd Nelson head to the finals as part of the Dallas coaching staff. Of course, former Oiler, part of the coaching staffs here and with their minor league team and all that. Just a hell of a coach, and good to see him go to the Stanley Cup final. And then, you know what? I've been counting them out in every single series, but I'm jumping on the Dallas Stars bandwagon, and the main reason is Todd Nelson. But I really like their team. I really like what they're doing, and I love that goalie there that they have, the little guy. So I'm taking the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup finals. I don't care if the Islanders come back and win it, or it's Tampa Bay. It's the Dallas Stars for me. And of course, if you missed it yesterday, Jeff Ward and the Calgary Flames, the interim tag of head coach is off, and Jeff Ward is the new man in charge there. It is official, so good on Jeff Ward and the Calgary Flames. I like the move. Bad Trivelin has made a lot of moves there when it comes to the coaching staff. It's not always about going out and getting the sexy, the expensive name. So I like Jeff Ward. He did good things, and you saw the players love playing for him. So Jeff Ward and the Calgary Flames stay together. Once again, Peter Laviolette, the head coach of the Washington Capitals, will see if he can take his fourth team to a Stanley Cup. Dallas heads to the finals. Will Tampa Bay do the same tonight? Nothing on the Oiler front just yet, but expect things to heat up as we get closer to the draft. All right, this has been your Noticias for Tuesday, September 15th. Up next, Marshaig from the Hockey Writers joins me to talk about potential trades between Columbus and Edmonton. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We're back here on Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas. You can hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. I'm now pleased to be joined by Mark Shagg from the Hockey Writers, covering the Columbus Blue Jackets and the OHL. You can find them on Twitter at Mark Shagg. Mark, how are you doing today?
Hernan, I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. I mean, NHL playoffs are wrapping up, and then the fun starts, the draft and the free agency, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Mark, I really enjoyed your article yesterday at the Hockey Writers as you looked at potential trade partners, that involves the Blue Jackets and Oilers. Let's start off with a scoring winger for McDavid, as that's what you kicked it off with. As you suggest, the Oilers should be paying attention to right winger Josh Anderson's situation with Columbus, as he's an RFA coming off 1.85, an injury-riddled season for the forward. What is he looking for in a new contract, and what do you think it would take to get him in a trade?
That's a really good question to start off with, and perhaps a tough question, because his situation is very unique in terms of trying to find what is the fair value for somebody like Josh Anderson. I mean, just for those that don't follow the Blue Jackets real close, he is an RFA, like you said, but in the last three seasons before this one, he's had 17, 19, and 27 goals. Mm-hmm. He's approaching 30-goal territory for someone with his size, for someone with his speed. He was projected to be a Blue Jacket for a long time, but then this season happened where he scored just one goal. He ended up having shoulder surgery and may have been ready to finally come back in September had the Blue Jackets been around. So trying to find a good contract and something that's fair is going to be tricky, given how bad the last time went. The last time that they had a contract negotiation, there are no arbitration rights. Anderson ended up not getting to camp on time and finally signed a contract right as the season was beginning. So it was a bit of a messy situation then. And now there are reports coming out that he wants a long-term extension. I mean, he wants to be in Columbus. He just wants to be there long-term. And the Blue Jackets aren't sure that they can make something like that work out. So they're going to talk, but if they can't come to an agreement, then he's absolutely going to be available for somebody, and the Blue Jackets are going to want scoring help. They're going to want somebody that can come in. They were 27th in goals last year. It's not going to be something cheap. They might want a first-round pick, but actually they want now help. Yeah. So wherever they can get it, they'll make him available. If they can't come up with a deal, they're going to try and sign him first. It's just I'm afraid that Anderson's going to want too much term for the Blue Jackets' liking. So at least as of right now, trade seems to be the best way to go. And if you put Anderson on McDavid's right, Anderson can almost keep up with McDavid. I mean, not quite, but better than what the Oilers have had. And he scored 27 goals. And, I mean, remember, he got into a fight with Zdeno Chara. You know, a lot of people compare him to kind of a Tom Anderson, a Tom Wilson-like. So a lot of possibility there. It just depends on where the contract situation goes.
Yeah, and he's in the top five on TSN's Frank Saravalli's trade bait list, so definitely a name to keep an eye on for sure. And I just want to touch on what something you said. You said the term might be too much, but, I mean, I can't see a significant raise for Josh Anderson, can you?
He's going to want one. I mean, how yeah. would you, I mean, if you were the general, if you were in the situation, would you value him more as someone who scored once or scored 27? And you know how that's going to work in negotiation. Mm-hmm. Anderson's going to come to the table, and his agent's going to come to the table. That 27-goal season was more like what you would get from us. Then the Blue Jackets said, well, look, you only played until December. You only had the one goal. So it kind of feels like it's going to be somewhere in the middle, like perhaps a little bit of a raise from 1.85, but I'm not sure how you can get to a real big number. And here's what complicates matters for the Blue Jackets, too, is that they have other players that they have to take care of.
Yeah.
Now, their number one priority this offseason is Pierre-Luc Dubois. And, you know, he's going to get a significant raise, you know, whether it be a bridge deal or whether it be a long-term deal, but that could take up most of whatever cap space is remaining. So on two fronts, the Anderson contract negotiation is going to be really, really tough. And just as we get closer here, unless there's a change of heart somewhere, I feel like trade's the only option out of this.
Mark Chegg joining me on the Locked On Oilers podcast from thehockeywriters.com covering the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mark, you brought him up. Pierre-Luc Dubois, he has to be signed, obviously, an RFA. He was outstanding in the playoffs. I always go back to that hat trick game that he had there against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just an absolute stud. And can you just talk about, like, his, evolution? When he got drafted, people were shocked when they went with him instead of Jesse Puljujärvi, which is looking really good on the Columbus GM right now. But can you just talk about, when he got to Columbus and the player he's become now?
Well, I mean, it's a great question, Hernan, just because, that draft night in Buffalo, and I was there covering it, just hearing the oohs and the ahs from the crowd, that it was Pierre-Luc Dubois that was the one taken, despite everybody saying it was going to be Puljujärvi number three. It was supposed to be 1-2-3. It was all set in stone until the Columbus Blue Jackets said, watch this. And they went and did their thing. But is it really that much of a surprise? Dubois was the number one ranked Canadian skater that year.
Yeah.
So a lot of people look at that as, they really went off the board. But I really don't think they went that far off the board. They went after somebody who they thought could be a center. That was really the key thing for them. Was even though Dubois didn't play a lot of center, he had the size, he had the strength. They projected him as such, and then they drafted him with that in mind, that he could eventually become a number one center. Went back to junior and the season after that to exclusively work on becoming a center. So although the numbers were down for what a lot of fans were expecting, he was learning a brand new position so he could be ready for his opportunity here. Comes to Columbus the year after that. Gets off to a little bit of a slow start, and then all of a sudden he gets in a position where he's put in the top six in center, and he starts to flourish, and then he just starts to take off. And that's what Columbus was looking for, just somebody that just fits the mold. And we never got the sense that Puljujärvi fit the mold in what the Blue Jackets were looking for. Dubois was that guy, and there were a lot of teams. I can tell you Montreal was one of them, and there are some others that were really interested in Dubois as well. And Columbus knew that, and so in order for them to take him, they had to take him third. They couldn't afford to trade back. So it was just a situation where they loved the player. They knew they had to take him third. They thought they knew what they were going to get. And, you said in the playoffs this year, he had that hat trick and just a little inconsistent still has a lot of things that he has to learn for being a number one center. But, man, when he's on, you can build a team around him, and that's why the Blue Jackets are, prioritizing him.
It's funny, Mark. I'll tell you a quick story. That draft, I was producing the draft show we had at TSN 1260, and when Dubois went, one of our hosts was like, he was just surprised because he thought Jesse Puljujarvi was for sure. And it's funny because it's been well reported and documented here in Edmonton that the Oilers were going to take Sergachev at number four if Columbus took Jesse Puljujarvi. And right now we're kind of like, damn it, Columbus, why did you do that? Because Sergachev has become a hell of a defenseman and something the Oilers desperately need right now, and he looks so good with the Edmonton Oilers right now. But it's funny how things work out down in the end. Coming up in just a few minutes, more with Mark Scheig, as we'll get into third line center, and he has an interesting name and goaltending. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Last segment here on Locked On Oilers Podcast. I'm Hernan Salas. A quick reminder to subscribe and download on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. And while you're there, give us a great review. Mark Scheig from the Hockey Writers covering the Columbus Blue Jackets joins me on today's pod. And Mark, let's start with this one, actually. I'm going to go to the third line center. It's a big topic of conversation here in Edmonton as you look for an upgrade on Riley Sheahan, who was good, but they need a little more offense from that spot. You have an interesting name that you put in your article yesterday from the Blue Jackets in Alex Wennberg, 25 years old, at 4.9 for the next three seasons. I know Torts gets frustrated with this player. I was reading your article where he's like, you know, he wants to be a good player, but it's just not there all the time. A long shot, but an intriguing name for sure.
An intriguing name, yeah. It's something I've definitely thought about. I don't think, you know, he started to actually come on in the playoffs, and that's what Torts came with the, you know, he was pleased to see it, but really frustrated. It actually went as far as saying it pisses him off because of just the up and down nature of his game. But yeah, it's been well documented, his struggles in Columbus. I know personally, you know, he'd been in the playoffs the last couple of years, but he took a headshot from Tom Wilson a couple of years ago. And I know some people think that he hasn't been the same since. Mm-hmm. It's just he hasn't been able to find the level of consistency, you know, that they were hoping, you know, when they signed him to that, six-year deal at almost $5 million per, you know, he was near 60 points and over 40 assists, and they thought that this was what they were going to get, but they realized that that really has not happened yet. But he is dependable. He's really good defensively. He can do the penalty kill. It's just, you know, when you're 27th in goals and you're trying to look for goal scoring and, you know, does this player need a fresh start? And I just thought about the fit. So, you know, Edmonton could use somebody as a third line center who is dependable. And I think that, you know, from a money standpoint and from a need standpoint, the Oilers fit that bill. Just with his performance in the playoffs, where he scored a beautiful goal against Tampa Bay. And if you saw what he was able to do against Vasilevsky, end up being a goal that put, I believe it was game two, out of reach. But it was a beautiful move, and he has that. It's just he hasn't consistently showed it. And we just wonder what the status of the relationship between him and John Tortorella is. And I mentioned in the article, I think if an acceptable offer were to come around, they might consider it because, you know with money, with performance. I know they didn't want to get rid of him when his value was at his lowest. But in the article, I put, you know, the Blue Jackets could use somebody like a James Neal. I know he's getting up there in age. I know he's got that kind of hefty contract, but he also has three more years. But you can't deny the power play ability. You can't deny his finishing ability. And if there's one area the Blue Jackets mightily have struggled in over these years, it is the power play. And I just thought maybe you could see a trade with that kind of a framework where the Oilers get their third line center with term at a little bit of a cost savings over Neal, where the Blue Jackets get somebody who's a known finisher who can help with their power play. I don't think that this is the exact trade that's going to happen, but I think something similar could happen depending on what each team is looking for.
Yeah, Mark, I love it because, you know, Neil was good for the Oilers. He came in here, he put up, you know, some good goal totals. He was feisty in the qualifying round. One of the few players that actually, you know, showed up and brought that element to the game. And he, like you said, he's got, you know, a hefty contract as well. But an older guy, he's good in the room and all that. I really like Neil. It would make sense for both teams, but it's, like you said, it might be a long shot that Columbus doesn't want to go that route. And Edmonton would have to move some money around to get Wenberg's 4.9 in. But I think he'd be a great fit here in Edmonton. Hey, that's what we're here for. Both teams are in their offseason, and speculation is the best part of it, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then the other thing, too, the Blue Jackets need centers, and I'm just not sure they'd be willing to part with a center, even though he's been inconsistent. They still need somebody. So unless it's something that really tips the scales, I think they'd scale back from a deal like that.
Mark Chegg from the Hockey Writers covering the Columbus Blue Jackets joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. And we've been talking goaltending here since the Oilers got eliminated by the Chicago Blackhawks. We don't know if they're going to bring Mike Smith. We know they're open to bringing him back, and Koskinen signed up for another 2 years. But I'll be honest, in my opinion, I don't think the Oilers can make it far with Koskinen in net. So we've been talking a lot about Matt Murray, about Darcy Kuemper. We saw Pierre LeBrun's tweet last week saying that the price was a little too high for the Oilers on Matt Murray, he thinks. But Columbus has two excellent young goaltenders in Jonas Korpisalo at $2.8 million for the next 2 years and Elvis Merzlikins at $4 million for the next 2 years. Both 26 years old. I mean, Korpisalo was out of this world in the playoffs. Elvis came in, played well as well. But will the Jackets be willing to move one of them? And then I guess a two-part question, which one would it be in your eyes, Mark?
Would they be willing to move one of them? Absolutely, if it meant getting the forward help that they're looking
okay.
for. I know there's actually reports that have surfaced indicating that Jarmo Kekalainen would in fact make one of them available if the right return came for scoring help. And in terms of which one would it be, I think most of us here believe that it would be Jonas Korpisalo, just because they really believe in what Elvis Merzlikins can be. I believe he's got the higher upside, and you know, Korpisalo himself was an all-star goalie, so take nothing away from him. It's a luxury, and we actually recently wrote about this, just that they're in a really good spot where even if they don't trade either guy, they've got a 1A and a 1B that no matter who's in net, they can win games.
Yeah.
So they can listen to offers, and if they don't get anything that they like, you know, they'll keep two goaltenders, no problem with that. But if, you know, I brought this up as a potential target. I know the Blue Jackets have shown interest in Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the past. I think the only downside is that he's a UFA coming up, and I'm not sure that they'd want to give up a starting goaltender like that, a good starting goaltender, if Nugent-Hopkins can walk in a year. But if they can come up with a deal where a good forward would come in with term, that's going to help their situation now. Because they really believe in what they have. I mean, they believe in a draft and develop model. There's some really young guys, Alex Texier, Liam Foudy, who eventually can be centers, and you know, they might get there sooner rather than later if their development starts, but they still need scoring, and if it's the right fit, they absolutely would give one of the goaltenders, and I do believe that Korpisalo would be that guy, and I think that would fit with the Oilers, too, if they were to try to pursue that. You mentioned the cap hit. You mentioned the cap-friendly deal, and it would be for 2 years, and he would be able to come in. You know, as he, you know, he's only been a starter for 1 year now, but he had a really good year. The only thing that I would wonder, though, is the Blue Jackets have a really good defense, and we know that the Oilers have to address that.
Yeah.
How would he do if a trade were to come together like that?
And that's the thing, like Nugent Hopkins here is, you know, the fans absolutely adore him. He's been through a lot of tough times here, only two playoff appearances. And I think the Oilers have to take an enormous step for him when he becomes a UFA. And then because if they're not a playoff team again or they're ousted in the first round again, I think Nugent is going to test the free agent market. And it's tough because Korpisalo would be great for the Edmonton Oilers. I just don't think they have the pieces Columbus wants in return because Columbus is in win mode, right? Right now.
Yep.
And so are the Oilers, but the Oilers don't have those young, you know, all their best players are, you know, they're not getting moved for Jonas Korpisalo, correct?
That's right. Now, in the conclusion of the article, even mentioned it, I just said there are better fits elsewhere in the league where there's players that each team would like, but in terms of actually coming up with a fair and a good deal that would make sense for both sides, I'm not seeing it like you're saying.
Mark Shagg from the Hockey Writers joining me here. Of course, he covers the Columbus Blue Jackets and the OHL and the draft. One last one for you here, Mark, and we got to talk about Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. And listen, I like this guy. I think he's done an excellent job. I think he should have. It should have been him or Vigneault, I think, for the Jack Adams, because what they did with those teams and Columbus losing so many players, I think he did a wonderful job. But I am going to say it is getting a little old when his team loses and his press conferences. What does the Columbus market feel when he does that kind of stuff? I mean, listen, we understand you're frustrated. You know, these guys are human after all. I mean, sometimes you don't want to talk, but it's part of the gig. Every other coach does it, but Tortorella seems like after every loss, he just doesn't want to hear it. Like, what do you make of his press conferences, especially when they lose?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of people see the outside and what is seen on camera and what he says or what he doesn't say and how quickly he leaves. I've covered him since he got there, when they fired Todd Richards and he came on. It's just a matter of getting to know what he is like. Mm-hmm. You know, he's actually one of the more insightful interviews that are out there when he talks. But he's on record as saying that he does not like post-game press conferences, usually win or lose. Now, when they win, he's generally more talkative, but especially in the playoffs. You know, he wears those emotions on his sleeves. And if there's one thing that is absolutely true about John Tortorella, he absolutely hates to lose. And right after, in the heat of the moment after a game like that, he goes out there and, you know, sometimes has one or two word answers. But generally speaking, the next day or a couple days later, if we talk to him, like we talked to him during the end of season press conference, he was a really informative interview. And the key is asking the right sort of questions too. As I know, the one question that set him off there in the playoffs, good question, but Tortorella doesn't like answering that kind of question specifically. In getting to know him, it's just something that he doesn't do. So that point, with everything going on, him boiling over, that's the personality that he has. Yeah. And it's something, yeah, it's been a little bit accepted. Does it get a little bit, we get a little bit sick of it? Maybe a little bit, but you know, it is the way he operates. But more often than not, we don't complain, because the next day he's usually really, really good. And he'll sometimes take court for 10, 15 minutes to explain something. In my mind, that kind of makes up for the times that he does show those emotions. And I think a lot of fans appreciate the fact that he doesn't say much, because a lot of those canned answers, a lot of the same cliches, you know, he just says, you know what, I'm going to say one or two words and, you know, that's it. You know, that's who I am. And, you know, that's kind of what makes him, you know, a little bit of a division. But at the same time, he's one of the really good coaches out there.
Mark, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Great article. Can you let our listeners know where they can find your work?
Yeah, absolutely, Hernan. It's on thehockeywriters.com. You know, we have actually a lot of writers that cover all the teams, juniors, NHL. Just go on thehockeywriters.com. You'll see at the top in the different NHL teams. Just click on it and you can find our articles out there.
All right, Mark, thanks again for joining me on the Locked On Oilers podcast. And if the Oilers and Blue Jackets do make a move, I'm sure I'll be reaching out once again.
Oh, that would be great. Well, Hernan, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
That was Mark Shagg from HockeyWriters.com covering the Columbus Blue Jackets. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Shagg. Once again, big shout out to Mark for joining me today. Some fascinating names for sure when it comes to the Blue Jackets and Oilers. I mean, I think Anderson is doable at the right price. I like Wennberg, but see that as an extreme long shot. And man, if the Oilers can somehow get one of those goalies, that would be a big win for Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers. Again, I feel like it might cost a pretty penny to get one of them, but like I said in the opening, one can dream. Producer Raul is telling me it's time to wrap, so this does it for the Tuesday edition of Locked On Oilers. Remember to subscribe and download, and let me know on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers what you think it'll take to get one of the Columbus goalies, and the DMs are always open for questions or discussions. I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Have a good one. Let's do it again on Wednesday.